Good morning. How many of us growing up were taught about the Tooth Fairy? How many about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny? There are certain myths of our culture that we believe in. Now as we become adults, we learned other myths from the world. Like childhood myths, most of them are harmless. Some are even helpful. But there are some myths, some things that we've learned from the world that aren't true, and that really are very harmful. One of the most common myths in American religious circles goes like this. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It sounds so good. It sounds broad-minded, reasonable, tolerant, and unbiased. In today's culture, it certainly is politically correct. The only problem with it is, it's absurd to hold such a myth. It's irrational. I recently read about a man who was to follow a preacher across Houston, Texas, to a place where they were to meet another individual. He was supposed to follow the preacher's white van. As they headed out, they got into a traffic jam and he lost sight of the van that he was following. Later, the man spotted the van and followed it almost to Galveston before realizing it was the wrong white van. From the Bible, we are all familiar with the Jews on Pentecost. They thought they were doing right in crucifying Jesus because they perceived him as a threat to the Judaistic teaching of Moses. They saw Jesus as a false prophet rather than the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. They were sincere, but sincerely wrong. In Acts 10, we meet Cornelius, a good man, God-fearing, generous, morally correct, sincere, but without Jesus. You see, we can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. The fact is that it takes more than a sincere faith. Our faith must be grounded in truth. If the altimeter on an airplane is not calibrated properly to the terrain, it can cause a crash because it causes the pilot to believe he is higher than he really is. We understand there are some beliefs in life that if we don't correct, we're going to crash. I want to examine six facts about our belief system. First, our beliefs are our own choice. Nobody forces us to believe anything. If we want to believe Elvis is alive, we can. If we want to believe in the Loch Ness Monster, we can. If we want to believe the moon is made of cheese or the world is flat, we can. Nobody's going to stop us. But here's the point. We can't blame anybody else for our beliefs. God created us free, moral agents. We can believe and act in any way we choose. It's our choice. A God-given choice. Joshua challenged Israel to choose today who you will serve. The gods of Egypt or Jehovah. Romans 1 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the created rather than the Creator." What we believe is our own choice, yet some of our beliefs might need to be replaced or repaired. Secondly, our beliefs determine our behavior. Proverbs 23, verse 7 tells us, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Jesus says, "Out of the heart man speaks." Out of the heart comes the issues of life. In Romans 12, Paul tells us that a transformed life is brought about by renewing our minds. We must be careful how we think because our life is shaped by our thoughts. We do not act independently of our minds or our thoughts. Everything we do has a conscious or unconscious belief behind it. Now the problem is this. Our beliefs determine the way we act even when they're wrong, even when they're false. For instance, if we believe we're unlovable, we will act unlovable. If we believe other people cannot be trusted, we'll tend to treat them with suspicion. If we believe that God is unconcerned about us, we'll never pray. If we believe that one is saved by grace alone, we will never be found in obedience to His will. If we believe there is no hell, we will make no effort to avoid it. If we believe we must merit our salvation, we'll also be found frustrated and always unsure of our salvation. The point is this, friends. Even if our beliefs are wrong, they still affect our behavior. So we need to examine our beliefs frequently and honestly. Indeed, the world has taught us many false beliefs. We need to understand that we can't believe everything we hear or even everything we see. The world presents us with myths every day. I once read a headline on the National Enquirer at the grocery store. New discovery, fat-burning prayers. Pray these prayers and the fat just melts away. We laugh at this, but there are a lot of things that just aren't funny. There are myths that really mess up our lives. Here are some such myths. Sin is a disease or the result of our environment or genetics. All of our problems are somebody else's fault. We never have to take responsibility for our behavior. Guilt is detrimental to humans, so there is never any reason to feel guilty. All religious people are going to heaven just by different means. The answer to man's problems is within himself, not in religion. Religion is only a crutch for the ignorant. Now, friends, the Bible gives us some very blunt advice about this. The Old Testament tells us the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false teachers have gone out into the world." Question: is our faith and practice based upon the myths of this world or from Scripture? Fourthly, a belief does not have to be true in order for it to affect us. When our son was in high school, he was out and was supposed to be in by 11. We had gone to bed. I woke up and his car was not in the drive. It was midnight. I went back to bed worrying about him. At 2 a.m., it still wasn't there. My worry turned to anger. Long story short, the next morning when I got up, it still wasn't there. I peeked in his room and there he was. He had parked his car in the garage and was there all the time. You see, this kind of thing happens all the time, doesn't it? We worry about things that aren't true. We're afraid of things that will never happen. So even when a belief is not true, it still has the power to cause turmoil in our life. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When we know the truth, apply the truth, live the truth, it will sanctify us, save us, and set us free. This is a promise of Jesus. The only source of absolute truth is God. Jesus, in John chapter 17:17, says, "Sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth." Romans 3, verse 4 says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Some fundamental questions we need answered are, what is truth? What is going to be the authority for my life? What's going to be the basis for my faith and practice? I believe the Bible to teach there are two sources of truth. One is God's Word, the second is Jesus. "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Then Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When it comes down to it, we only have two options. We either follow the Word of the world or the Word of God. We will either build our life on the culture that's around us or on what God says. The world or the Word. Which of them do you think is more reliable? The problem with culture and society and conventional wisdom is that it keeps changing. The therapy that works today isn't the therapy that was popular 5 years ago, while God's knowledge is ultimate and always true. An entire generation was brought up on one of the best-selling books of all time, Dr. Spock's baby book. Years later, while in his 70s, he publicly said, "Oops, I was wrong. That's not the way to do it. I'm sorry." Well, thanks a lot. It's a little late. The point is, an entire generation was raised on one way of parenting that studies later confirmed didn't work. Did you know that the average lifetime of a science textbook is about 18 months? It's out of date because knowledge is changing and increasing so rapidly. We must not put our faith in something that changes every few days. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Friends, his word is never out of date. God's truth is key to our happiness and salvation. Notice these facts from the four Gospels. 80 times Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth." 20 times Jesus says, "Now you have heard it said, but I say to you." What's he doing? He's exploding the myths that rob us of our faith. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus frequently was found saying, "You've heard it is said." This is conventional wisdom. This is what everybody thinks. But I say to you, the truth sets you free. Jesus says building a life is a lot like building a house. We can build our house on the solid rock, God's unchanging truth. Or we can build our house on the sand, the constantly changing opinions of the world. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24-27. Now let's make application of these thoughts on our belief system. First, we must know the truth. We must be truth seekers. Paul warns us in 1 Timothy 4 that a time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, myths that rob us of our faith. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Paul says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Secondly, knowing the truth is not enough. We must believe it, accept it. There is an interesting verse in John which says, "To those who believed, he gave the power, the authority, the right to become children of God." In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Luke says, "So those who believe and accepted Peter's message were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 persons who were added to their number." I must warn you this morning that sometimes truth is painful. Sometimes the truth is unpleasant, but it is the only way to be genuinely set free from our sins and to rise above the problems and cares of this world. It is the only way to guarantee us a place in heaven. Then we must obey the truth. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Matthew 7:21-23. Ephesians 4 says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ." Truth is not just something we give mental assent to. It's something we apply to life, something we obey, something we walk in daily. Christianity is not just some intellectual trip. It is a life to be lived, a walk to walk. Paul warns in 2 Thessalonians 2, "We perish because we refuse to love the truth and so to be saved." How does one go to hell? There's only one way, friends. Are you listening? Do I have everybody's attention? Hell is the result of refusing to know, believe, and obey truth. Jesus says, "I am the truth." Are we following Jesus? How do you get to heaven? Not by just being good, not by just getting baptized, not by joining a church, not by giving generously. There's only one way to heaven, and it is by knowing, accepting, and obeying truth. "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock." Friends, those were words of Jesus, not Steve Haley. Become a child of God today. Be set free from your sins by faith, by repentance, and New Testament baptism, immersion in water, for the forgiveness of sins. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.